Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining me around the fire. Tonight we're deep in the Pine Barrens to hear the tale of a monstrous beast. It lurks among the trees out here, stalking explorers and hunters alike. Listen. Do you hear it? When the English eventually settled here in the late 1600s, they quickly discovered that they weren't alone. Witchcraft had followed them to the New World, and before they knew it, the woods were filled with otherworldly cries and demonic silhouettes. Fearing the unknown, the English turned against the native people and pushed them from the land. But the settlers' safety was short-lived. Whether by some form of divine retribution or pure coincidence, the English now found themselves face to face with a demon. I'm Aaron Sauerland, and this is Campfire Stories. Tonight, we're very excited to have Johnny Birchtold with us around the fire.
What's up?
Hey, Johnny. Hey. You want to introduce yourself?
Yes. My name is Johnny Birchtold, and I am a big campfire enthusiast. My favorite thing in the world is sitting around a campfire telling ghost stories.
Nice.
What else should I say? I'm an actor. I'm a horror enthusiast. I live and breathe Halloween. And that's why I'm very happy to be here today. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you. So where are you from, Johnny?
Ooh, where am I from? You may have heard of a little MTV show called The Jersey Shore.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I'm from the Jersey Shore, New Jersey. South Jersey, to be specific. There is a war going on between North and South, if you didn't know that. But I'm sort of like outside of Atlantic City in the woods. So I'm a woodsy boy.
Is that the difference between North and South? Is it like, is the Southern South Jersey
like
woods?
Never been North.
Oh, really?
We don't go there. No. I mean, I guess it's the whole state is sort of covered in woods, and then you find these pockets of cities. But we're closer to Philly than we are really like the top of Jersey.
Is it a small town, or are you more in the city? Or?
Yeah, no, definitely small town. Everyone sort of knows each other, but it's not like super small town that it's like all the town secrets are. I mean, sure, we, you know, what town doesn't have town secrets? But like, it's also one of those towns that, you know, you sort of stay in your whole life. My dad grew up there. He was born there, grew up there.
Mm-hmm.
He's, you know, he's always been there. So it's very interesting because you have all of those like generations living down to, like, my sister's husband's family, they all live on the same street.
Oh, wow.
Grandma, aunts, uncles, they all live on the same street. And they have lived like that their whole lives, which is so fun. But it's that type of place.
That's cool.
You know? Yeah.
That's really cool.
So I grew up in the woods and also on the beach.
Mm.
So we got the best of both worlds. And also, you get a really great fall in Jersey. That's one thing, because now I live in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really get a fall, a proper fall, I should say.
Yeah.
And define proper, but like, I'll do it. And it's like, I need to see the leaves, the chill in the air.
The multi-layered clothing and...
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I don't want to be sweating on October 1st. I want to say that, which you do get in Los Angeles. But yeah, it's got all the seasons, including winter. But fall there is like the time to be. So it does get very beautiful. And growing up in the woods, I spent most of my time in the woods.
Yeah.
Climbing those trees.
Is Jersey, is it hilly or flat? I've never really been to Jersey, so I don't really have like a point of reference.
It's flat? Flat. It's flat, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I don't go up to North Jersey very often. Maybe they got some mountains over there. no, but it's, yeah, it's flat and covered in trees for the most part.
That's like perfect campfire settings, though. Like, I also growing up, like, on the northern border of Wisconsin and Illinois. like straight up the woods and everything. Like you're sitting out there, you can hear all the critters and everything.
There is nothing better.
Yeah.
We grew up doing bonfires, and then when we were teenagers, we'd do bonfire parties.
Yeah.
And like that was, it was a staple of like the function.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, like my uncle would have these massive, massive bonfires where you just like bring furniture and you just throw it in there. We're like in the middle of the, like a weird little field in the middle of the woods. So like there's no one around. And you venture off too far into the tree line and suddenly get spooked and you go back. And
I love that feeling.
So, yes, bonfires, big part of my life. And we have them all the time in my backyard currently.
Oh, so, I love that.
Yeah.
Okay, and then I had a question. I just wanted to get your opinion on this. But, like, why do you think small towns are so prone to these urban legends and folklore? And
you know what I think? Because we get bored there.
Mm.
And so it makes it exciting.
Honestly, there's truth to that, I feel.
Okay, I was like sort of joking, but actually there is truth to that, I think.
Mm-hmm.
There is. Like, when I think back to growing up in my hometown, like, and we would go to graveyards and like, I mean, yeah, I've always been like this. I've always been into horror and I'm the one pushing people to go to the graveyards. But like, you hear a noise in the woods or whatever and it's just more fun to scare yourself. And I think that's sort of like part of the culture of growing up in a small town is like every small town has their quirks, but like everyone has that one house in their town or that one road. Like we had a haunted road, it's called Indian Cabin Road. That was like, you don't turn down that road because ghosts are there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, take me there. But like, yeah, I just think it's a symptom of growing up in the small town. And what else do you do? Like, we found the most insane ways to keep ourselves entertained. I think that's probably a little bit of it.
Yeah.
But also, we've been told these stories for generations. I know the story I'm going to tell today is, like, one of those.
Yeah.
And it's just part of growing up in a place like that.
So tonight, you've got a good story for us.
Yeah. So, well, first of all, I do want to mention what the Pine Barrens are, and that is a large portion of South Jersey that is just all woods. In fact, I was told that they used to sell illegal alcohol or make illegal alcohol back there. Like, that's how secluded it was. Like, perfect place to... I will say, I'm sure there's many a dead body.
Oh, wow.
Hidden back there. In fact, I don't know. Maybe my town, for some reason, was like a dumping grounds because, like, every so often, you'd find a body. Anyway, wow. Not my story.
Okay, so then why don't you tell your story? Johnny, take us over to the Pine Barrens and tell us the legend of the Jersey Devil.
So, now, every state has their own cryptid, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've heard of the Bigfoot. We've heard of
Mothman.
Yeah, Mothman. But in Jersey, we have the Jersey Devil, which is this creature that supposedly haunts the Pine Barrens. So we're told this as kids, you know, don't be in the woods at night because the Jersey Devil will find you.
Mm.
So the Jersey Devil, the story goes, just to give a little framework here, he was birthed into the Leeds family, and the Leeds family is the infamous family in our town. Like, there's like ghost stories about them.
Oh, wow.
And the story goes that she had 12 children and she was pregnant with her 13th and she didn't want any more kids. Understandably so. That is, how are you going to take care? That's way too many for me. So she cursed this 13th child, and when she gave birth to it in the house that existed in the Pine Barrens, it came out, it sprouted wings, and it flew out the chimney, never to be seen again until the residents or the surrounding civilians would start to see things at night.
They saw it, like, flying around?
Yeah. It would be like a foggy road situation.
Oh, wow.
You will be driving in the dark for a long time around where I live, there's, I mean, especially like when I was driving to Casey's house when we were teenagers, mm-hmm. You'd be driving down long stretches of road with no streetlights, just trees all around you. And that's typically when you would see the Jersey Devil.
Wow.
Which is why this story was always so interesting to me. I've been told this story since I was a little boy, and it's never changed. Mm. I may tell it terribly, but when I'm told it, it's never changed.
Right, right.
So there is this little boy, and he is one of seven, so lots of siblings, and grew up in South Jersey, and his grandparents lived in the Pine Barrens. And like I did, he also grew up hearing stories of the Jersey Devil. And they sort of had this house that was like very secluded on the crest of a river. And so prime summer hangout, mm-hmm. every day in the summer they would spend at their grandparents' house. And they would go, all seven kids, and hang out there and play in the woods, but they never crossed the river. Mm-hmm. Like, that was like sort of the thing. They had a canoe, but they never used it to go across the river, just down the river.
Okay, gotcha.
So there was this whole other side of the forest beyond the plot of land that, like, they just didn't go mm-hmm. to. So I guess he, this little boy, I guess he got in a fight with his brothers. And he got mad, and he took the canoe, and he used it to go across the river.
Oh, no.
And he, like I said, you didn't go there, but he was so mad, he wasn't thinking clearly.
Yeah.
Or maybe he was, and he was going to revolt. And he canoed across the river and was on his own path, and suddenly he found himself, like, completely alone. And like I said, the forest can be very thick over there, but it was daytime. Like, it's like fully daytime, but because it's so thick, it's like dark in these woods sort mm-hmm. of thing.
Yeah. Like, the sunlight gets blocked out.
Yeah. And so he's walking on this path that's completely secluded, and he stopped dead in his tracks in the distance ahead of him. He's a little boy, right? These trees are tall. Up in the tree, there was a really thick branch that was, like, jutting out over the path.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw this creature, and he's described it the same way every single time. He said it had a kangaroo body with a horse's head, pointy ears, short, like, little arms, but, like, sort of folded, like it was like a resting cheetah sort of thing. Mm. A pointy tail, and when I say pointy, like, I'm talking like arrowhead tail.
Oh, like pointed,
like a devil's tail.
Oh my god.
And it had wings, and he immediately knew this is the Jersey Devil because it's so specifically described. He was like, it can't be anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing, the devil, the Jersey Devil, hadn't noticed him. And he was looking directly at something into the woods.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was sort of looking at the devil's profile.
Yeah.
And he froze, obviously, as you do when you encounter a winged beast. And he knew that the Jersey Devil could tell then that he was standing there, but he never turned his head to look at him. And this little boy was so scared to look away mm-hmm. because he was afraid that if he did, he would make his move. So he backed up all the way back to the river, keeping his focus in front of him.
Wow.
So he walked backwards, and he got in the canoe. He paddled back. He tried to tell everyone. Of course, they didn't believe.
Yeah.
But this little boy is also an artist, and he grew up to be an artist as well. And so he drew a sketch of this thing, and he had it for a long time, but I never got to see it because it disappeared at some point. But
wow.
He swears to this day that he saw the Jersey Devil.
Yeah.
And this little boy, Aaron, is actually my dad. I have been told this story a million times, and so obviously I was always expecting to see the Jersey Devil too. But like I said, like this is a, you hear of the Jersey Devil growing up as a kid in Jersey, and so I'm being fed this as a kid, and so I'm telling it to everyone else. And one of my best childhood friends, this story intrigued her so much that she got into a big Jersey Devil phase as well.
Mm-hmm.
And she, we we had Ouija boards as kids.
Oh yeah.
We loved them and we used them all the time. She had the idea to go to the cemetery where the Leeds family is buried and put the Ouija board on top of the grave, the mother's grave. And I wasn't here for this, but she swears that when she asked about the Jersey Devil, like her 13th child, supposedly, the planchette started going in a figure eight and they took their hands off of it and it continued to go in the figure eight for like 20 more seconds. And she freaked and they ran back to the car and left. They left it there and they went home because they were too scared. But, you know, take it or leave it. And here's the thing. My dad is a very, I wouldn't call him a skeptic, but he is a very reasonable person.
Mm-hmm.
So to hear him describe this and never change a story, and I even talked to him today about it. He called me up and was like, yep, so, because I told him I was going to tell a story. And he was like,
yeah.
And he tells it the same way every single time. And again, you know, he was a little boy. Who knows what he saw, but he, that's what he swears he saw, and he drew exactly what he saw. That's sort of what allows me to believe that he really believed this, because he went home and drew it immediately.
Yeah.
I just wish he had that picture. Oh, but here's the thing too. The thing that really, I guess, solidified it for him was that, because he said he had never seen anything that resembled that since, except for the Sweetwater Casino, which was a restaurant.
Okay.
That has since burned down, unfortunately.
Mysterious.
It was in the Pine Barrens, or it was like in the forest, the woods of Jersey. And on the placemats was a drawing of the Jersey Devil, like on the menus.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it was almost exactly what he saw.
Oh, wow.
This is a place that existed when he was an adult. So it's not like he went there as a kid and then saw that and then like convinced himself that's what he saw.
Exactly.
And it makes me think that, like, we always have these, like, ideas of what alien abductions are like, or like, what Bigfoot, or, I mean, anything, like, any story that's been around forever. And you're like, well, how do you know what this looks like? And it's because, and then you say, well, because there has to be a painted picture of what this looks like if bunch of people are saying that they saw it. So I like to think that my dad did see the Jersey Devil, because that's cool as hell. And that he's not the only one, and that there are images out there or drawings of it. There's also a restaurant maybe at the place that replaced the Sweetwater Casino, and they have a massive wooden statue of the Jersey Devil.
Oh my god.
And it's like, well, yeah, I mean, if someone saw it like this, maybe multiple people saw it like this, that's how they know how to draw it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I like to say that my dad saw the Jersey Devil.
That's terrifying. Especially to be a child, seeing it in the woods.
A place that is your home. Like, you can't, like, when you grow up in a place like that, like, that's your home. You can't escape the woods.
Exactly. Right? Yeah.
And this thing is lurking around out there. I think when you're that age too, you sort of expect to see it at some point.
Mm-hmm. It reminds me of in Boy Scouts or whatever, there was like the snipe or something like that. I wish I remember what it's called, but it's like a little bird that you like go hunting and like you expect to go see it, but it's not real.
It's not a real
thing. But I was going to ask, have you and your friends ever gone like hunting for the Jersey Devil or?
Not so much the Jersey Devil. We would, like I said, we would take those Ouija boards mm-hmm. around many places. But we had, like, especially in our town, the historical part of the town, all of those buildings were supposedly haunted.
Oh, interesting.
I like to think that the house that I grew up in was pretty haunted, but I just want to think that. But yeah, like there's like a lot of spooky energy around there.
Yeah.
And you can convince yourself that there's something in the woods. But maybe there is.
And there's something to say about this collective experience that you're kind of talking about of mm-hmm. like so many people claim to have seen it. And right. like for your dad, I mean like what does he gain by manufacturing this story?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's not like he needs to continuously try to convince his siblings that he saw this thing yeah. as a kid. Like, I can understand being at that age, but to keep that with you, mm-hmm. it's so vivid in his memory, he says, that he's been obviously telling it for a long time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, what would be the gain?
Exactly. And the Jersey Devil, I mean, it's a part of the tapestry of Jersey. So it's not like this story gives your dad some kind of unique claim to fame or right. something. Where did your dad hear the story first? Do you know? Did he hear it from his
probably
parents?
From his grandfather.
Wow.
I would think from his grandfather. Yeah.
Man, that's amazing. I'd love to know, like, how long has the Tales of the Jersey Devil
yeah.
like, been going? How many generations?
Right?
And I'm so curious about the history of the Leeds family and everything, too, you know? I think.
Right. And, like, there's so many roads named after them.
Oh,
like,
interesting.
They're, like, a famous, like, everyone knows the Leeds. You don't know them personally. You know of them.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Mother Leeds gave birth to the Jersey
Devil. Did you go camping as a kid? I would be terrified to go camping growing up in the Pine Barrens or in that area with the Jersey Devil.
Here's the thing is we would camp in our backyard. Like, I grew up on 5 acres of woods. And so, like, we would just camp back there. There were campgrounds, but, like, we
yeah.
basically would just take a tent and go out there.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, thanks for joining us around the fire, man. I like to give people the opportunity to promote anything that they're working on or anything they're up to. So, sir, anything you want to promote?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me around the fire. Great fire, by the way. It's a really great skill to have to
thank
be able
you.
To build a fire. And it's roaring. It's rip-roaring right now.
Keeping you warm.
Keeping me warm. I have toasted so many marshmallows here today. no, but this is fun. And any chance I get to talk about the Jersey Devil and also spooky things, I'm there, especially with you.
Hey, everyone. I'm stepping in from the editing booth. I, unfortunately, due to the current SAG strike, we're actually unable to promote any of Johnny's current projects. But once the strike is resolved, I'm going to come back, re-upload this episode with this section cut back in. He's an insanely talented actor and an all-around kind human being, and he deserves nothing but support. So, back to the episode.
And, yeah, there's a couple other things on the pipeline, but you can look out for those. I'll update when I know
yeah.
on my socials, and you can find that at Johnny Birchtold on Instagram and Twitter.
Yeah, and I'll go ahead and drop that in the show notes as well.
Beautiful. But yeah, generally, I'm a big horror guy, so if you're listening, you're into that kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely give Johnny a follow. And then before I douse the fire, do you want to promote a charity or give a shout-out to a specific organization?
Oh, I would love to. I, working on Doggone, I got to work with and am aware and love the organization. It's called Best Friends Animal Society.
Mm-hmm.
And they are the largest no-kill sanctuary for animals. And they have over, like, 4,000 partnered shelters and sanctuaries. They're amazing. They take rescue dogs, cats, all kinds of animals. And they're wonderful. And I would highly recommend looking them up and seeing what they do. It's really, really beautiful. And we love animals here. Especially, and they love to really put emphasis on disabled animals and elderly animals because they often go unadopted. But that's why an amazing organization like this exists, and I love that it exists. So it's called Best Friends Animal Society.
So I'll drop a link in the show notes for that as well, so that way you guys can go check that out and give them some help too. And you know, if you're able to reach out to any of those shelters and you're looking for a new pet, that's the way to go. All right, man. Well, thank you so much again. Really, I really, really appreciate it. And it's been a chilling time having you on the show.
It's been the best time. I love you. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thanks, Johnny.
Bye.
If you've been enjoying the show, please take a moment to rate the podcast and write a short review. It helps people find us and makes it more likely to show up in the algorithm when recommending new podcasts. I also deeply want to thank the listeners that have already donated and supported the show. Your guys' kindness is beyond words, and I love knowing that people are out there enjoying this hard work that goes into each episode. You guys are the real heroes. Thank you. If you too are interested in supporting the Campfire Stories podcast, I've added a link in the show notes where you can do just that. It's very easy to do, there's no fees, and you don't even have to sign up for anything. But any amount helps, and it makes it easier for me to dedicate even more time to the show. As always, this episode of Campfire Stories was produced by me, Aaron Sauerland, with music by Brandon C. Stanley. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at campfirestories_podcast to keep up with new episode drops and more exclusive content.